Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming out to Comic Book Club Live. Please give it up for your hosts, Justin and Pete.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And that's our man in the booth, Boothman Prime.
Boothman Prime.
Prime time. Obviously, prime time is autumn for Boothman Prime, so you're loving it, right?
I'm ready to go. It's my birthday in like 2 weeks.
Oh, fuck yeah. What are you doing? Yeah, all right. Have that applause, that birthday applause. What do you do for your birthday?
Yeah.
I don't know. I kind of want to do something this year.
Great.
I kind of want to go all out.
It's a great starting point.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. Maybe, you know, dress up as Punisher, have some fun, you know what I mean?
Go out in vigilante?
Yeah, you know, why not? It's your birthday.
Yeah, it's great to die on your birthday because it makes it easy for the obituary.
Yeah, it's full psych.
Born on this day, died
exactly.
on this day.
It's just easier.
Yeah.
It saves a lot of...
Yeah, I'm hoping to die on a holiday of some sort.
Really?
Yeah.
That's your goal?
Yeah. Because it's like oh, I always feel like when someone dies, like, right after their spouse dies, it's like, fuck, they were really living it.
Yeah.
Or, like, on a holiday because it's like, oh, something about them, they were just, like, shut down. Rather than just dying on a boring old day.
I like just after a holiday. Like, their goal was to make it to Thanksgiving, and then they're like, that's it. That's all
I'm talking, like, New Year's Day brunch. That's when I want to go.
That's when you want to check out?
And, like, truly, I just finished brunch, and I'm like, later. And I just fall over dead. And they're like, oh, my God, he died of natural causes.
Yeah.
Right, like, when he wanted to.
Yeah. Also, you were probably your turn to pay, and that's why you were kind of like,
don't be like that. I'll drop some money if I'm going out.
Yeah, yeah. Is it cool if I go through your pockets
right now?
No, I mean if you keel over, I'd be like, you know what? Let's see how much Justin had to see if he can cover his.
Let me tell you, Pete. You've said a lot of things that I think are fucked up. That's maybe right up there with the top.
Yeah.
Can I go through your pockets when you die?
I'm just saying, if we got all throw in and you just keel over, I feel like you would have wanted to put in on your last meal.
So your move, I fall over dead, is like, fuck, well, we should go through his pockets.
Yeah, just to see.
And then it's like, wait, let me pay the bill before we call the ambulance.
Well, this is all after the ambulance.
Are you going to do a little CPR?
Oh, man, I don't know.
Well,
probably.
That's a great place to leave it. Guys, we have a very exciting guest for you. Thank you for talking about your birthday so we could talk about my death.
Yep.
And let's bring out, you've seen him on the Chris Gethard Show. Please welcome to the stage, Mr. Dave Bloveband.
Yeah. Welcome, sir. Great to have you. Have a seat. Have
pleasure.
A microphone.
Please, right this way.
Grab a seat and a microphone.
Thank
welcome
you.
To
Thank
the
you.
Show.
Great to have you here.
Great to be here. Thank you.
So, Dave, we've known each other for a long time.
We have. We have Justin Tyler.
Justin Tyler.
Oh, really? You guys go back?
And Pete LePage. We've all known each other.
We're New York mainstays, all three.
Yes.
We're institutions. We're fucking institutions.
We're fucking institutions.
We're institutions. Look at us.
I was telling Pete, I think I came to, if this show is like in its 10th year or something, I must have come to one of the very early ones.
Didn't stick around?
And stick around the whole way through. But I came when I was in high school, and I was like, oh, yeah, I got to...
See, he showed up, and he was like, okay, that's my goal. Yeah. I want to be a guest on the show. I got to walk away from the show, work on some stuff, and then come back.
Yeah, I can't come back until they know that I'm the best.
And you
congrats. Welcome.
Look at you now. So tell us, you do a ton of stuff, big UCB guy. You're also on the Chris Gethard Show now, airing live on True TV.
Yep.
Tell us about that, which has gone, the Chris Gethard Show has gone through like so many iterations.
Yeah, it's very interesting. It's very fun. We've had a lot of cool guests this season so far. It's our third season, and we had Method Man come up on our last episode.
Nice.
That was really fun.
He just came up.
He wasn't even scheduled to be the guest. Yeah. He was just like, "Yeah, I'm gonna swing by," and it was really cool. And I was like a huge like a Wu-Tang nerd growing up, so I was just like,
nice,
"This is amazing. I love I was like, I can't believe I'm sitting next to Method Man right now." It was very fun, and it's. The show's gone through a lot of weird iterations.
Yeah, for anyone who doesn't know the show, please tell us.
The Chris Gethard Show is a live talk show that's on True TV right now, Thursdays at 11. It started off as a show at UCB, and then we were on public access for a long time. Yeah. And then we were acquired by another network called Fusion.
Fusion, yeah.
Now, then Fusion... afraid of the money. we don't.
Way to say it plain. Way to tell it like it is.
they couldn't have us back anymore, but True TV got us now, and they seem to like us.
Yeah. And now you're full on live.
Yeah, now we're full on live.
That's a whole new game.
Which is very different than what we used to do.
Especially because the show is built sort of on chaos.
Yeah. So anything can happen, and
sometimes does.
Sometimes anything does happen.
How are the network execs just like terrified all the time? Just like white knuckling it through every show.
I would imagine they in my mind they're like who cares? Do whatever you want. I want to watch the world burn, baby. Like it's very much like
having known some network execs. None of them are like that. None of them don't want to watch the world, but they're like, I want my job to stay.
I know. That's what confuses me, because I was like, why would anybody with that mindset trust a show like ours? It doesn't make any sense.
That's true.
So in my mind, this must be like an anomaly. Some really like. Risk-taking,
real psychopath
executive, like whoever. Like no, they're great. They're very fun. They seem to trust us.
Yeah,
and everybody that's involved with the show is super funny and really.
You've got a hell of a cast on there. I mean, you basically took all the hilarious people from UCB and were like, "Come on, let's go."
Come on.
But a couple things I want to talk about. One, I want to hear how the human fish came to be.
Sure.
And second, I know Shannon O'Neill from way back in the day.
Yes, you do.
Yeah, we were CBS pages together.
Ooh.
That's great. Pete LePage, the page.
Pete LePage, the CBS page.
I was like, I feel like I can get this job.
Your name is literally the page.
The page.
Yeah. Which was the worst, because we used to have to wear blazers with our name tags on it.
Yeah.
And people were like, no fucking way. Are you serious?
Like, I come from a long line of pages.
Yeah.
We've been in the pages for generations. Yeah.
And the worst was there was this one guy who would always see me and be like, too bad your last name isn't Love Producer.
Yeah, that man, David Letterman.
That was David Letterman.
Yeah. Had to take that joke every day from that guy.
I mean, that's a good joke.
That's a good joke.
I
mean, it would be better if your name was LaLauren Michaels.
Yeah. Or if your name was La, stop talking to me or I'll kick your fucking ass.
That would fit me to a T.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So please, the human fish, how did this...
The human fish is the character you play.
Human fish is the character I play on the talk show. It's like I answer yes or no questions in the form of this versus that. It's a very thin premise for a character, as Justin Tyler will agree with me. As someone that's directed me in character stuff,
That's true. I think we need to look a little deeper beyond the human fish, Dave. So that started way back in the original.
Yeah, that started.
Now, can you hold your breath underwater? Like, do you like swimming?
I love swimming.
How the fuck did we get from you to human fish?
You know, it's weird. It's a thing of like. I was, Chris Gethard's show started at UCB, like I said before, and I was always like kind of trying to weasel my way onto the show in different ways and just like, let me be a part of the show. I want to do stuff. And Gethard was very nice and let me do some stuff. I was like in the March of Dimes marathon that they did. And I was like, and then he, we raised money for the March of Dimes for one show on the stage, and sure. I did like a thing where I drank whiskey and milk together until somebody paid me to stop.
Oh wow!
And it was it's very disgusting.
Did you throw up?
Idea. I didn't, but I came pretty close. So it was one of many terribly self-destructive choices I made in my life for the sake of Chris Gethard.
Classic human fish.
Yeah,
and. Gethard was like, I'm taking the show to public access. You're weird. If you do, just pitch me some ideas, and I trust they'll be like fine.
And I was like, that's a glowing
that's
review.
A hell of a sell.
You're weird, and you'll probably be fine.
Yeah. Essentially, that's like what he said. I was like, okay, cool. So then he takes the picture of me in a like in swim trunks, and I was like, can I just show up to the studio dressed as this, and then we'll figure it out from there. And
wow.
Then it was
wow.
Like,
so
yeah.
He gives you a shot, and you just half-ass it.
Yeah. Immediately like, just half-ass
it. Well, I mean, did you even go to your closet and were like, what could I do?
I was like, well, I know. I was like, well, I know I wanted to do Human Fish, because that was the title I had pitched to Gethard. I was like, I don't know what this means, but I have a character called Human Fish.
Ah, and you were like, he was like, I love it. And you were like, fuck.
No, I have to figure something out. Like, and then I just did. And then
where did the human fish come from? Like, did you just have like a dream one day where you were human fish, or you just think it's a funny...
I just thought it was like a weird thing to be like, here's this half-assed idea of a character. I'll probably never come back on the show. Like, Gethard will be so mad at me that he'll just like wash his hands of me forever. Mm-hmm. And then, like, weirdly enough, the way the show works in the system of the show, of like, when we were on public access, we had people call, like people could call in,
yep,
and talk to the people that were on the show. It was like, yeah, one of those type of talk shows. Yeah, and we'd like, that. Yeah. And that was really fun on public access because nut jobs would call, yeah, and like, oh, yeah, real, yeah, psychopaths and, yeah, like true, like people that are just like, you know, sitting at home watching Manhattan Public Access on a Wednesday night and, yeah, just like, hey, I wanna talk about conspiracy theories, or I wanna like shout a racist slur for no reason, and then they'll just be like, okay, we'll deal with it however we want. And
yeah,
with that thing built into the show, when you have if I come up dressed in a swimsuit and just pose like, anybody who wants to ask me a question, go for it.
Right.
That just like opens the floodgates. So people just kept asking me questions.
Can you give us an example of your type of answer for anyone who hasn't seen,
yeah,
it?
Sure. So,
or maybe your favorite one.
Okay. Yeah. So sometimes it'll be very simple, like potato chips versus hot dogs. Who thinks which is better? No, you're wrong. It's potato chips.
Yeah.
And that's just how it works.
And that's, yeah, just that's how it works. And that's it.
Literally, just all it is.
Wow.
It's all it is. There's a right answer. There's a wrong answer.
And you, yeah, don't and explain.
I don't explain it, but I know all of the right answers.
Oh, yeah, wow.
That makes a lot of sense. Audience outraged, by the way, right?
Audience, yeah, is, they're going,
you
nuts.
You turn down hot dogs very quickly.
Oh, yeah.
Very quickly. You didn't even really think about how much more versatile a hot dog is versus potato chips.
I got to say, I'm 100% on board with potato chips.
Yeah.
No way.
Mm-hmm.
Hot dogs all day.
Hot dogs all day?
Hot dogs all day.
Hot dogs all day. No.
It's a good way to go.
Hot dogs all day, you'll get dehydrated. That's, yeah, terrible.
Not like potato chips. No, yeah. Full of hydrating salt.
I don't know about that.
No, that's, I eat potato chips almost every day.
You could live off hot dogs. You couldn't live off potato chips.
You couldn't live for long off hot
dogs. You couldn't live for long off either of those things.
Either way, you're not going to live long, but I feel like you would live longer off just hot dogs.
I would, when we get old, which is soon, by the way.
Tomorrow.
Yeah. Let's go in the woods.
Okay.
When we're like ready, not to talk about death all the time, but when we're ready to die.
Yeah. I'll have
two packages of uncooked hot dogs.
Okay.
I'll bring as many potato chips as
what do you mean,
drink,
uncooked? I can't cook them?
Well, no. You have to eat them.
No, I'm not talking about uncooked hot dogs.
Are you going to cook the hot dog? What am I going to do with the chips?
I don't know. You
can bring
chips.
A dip. I can bring a dip.
You
then.
Can't bring a dip. Can I bring hot dog buns?
I think we're adding too many rules,
yeah,
to this.
You're right. So uncooked hot dog potato chips will see you last longer.
Yeah, we will.
And that person will carry the other person out and bury them.
Okay. That seems fair.
Great. That seems fair. So we solved that. And if it's you, you'll probably go through my pockets first.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
Great.
Because that's what you do.
That's not what anyone does.
No.
That's what you do in times of war.
No, if we're out in the middle of the woods and you die, I'm going to check you. See
what do you think
have
I have in my pocket?
Oh, maybe you got a pen knife.
A new identity?
Maybe a pen knife?
I don't have
maybe
a bunch
of... make a fire with that I could use to then survive to get your body to the grave.
Let me throw this at you. What if you check my pockets and it was full of hot dogs?
Yeah. Oh.
That'd be a real fuck you.
Yeah.
That would be your last move.
Yeah.
You would get
gotcha. Yeah, yeah. I always have two hot uncooked hot dogs.
Just for such an emergency.
Just for such a situation. Great. We covered the origin of the human fish, I think, with that run. So you're also doing this great new show called The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
Yeah. I'm in a new Amazon series that's going to premiere in December. I play a character in a couple episodes. It's going to be, I'm really excited about it. It's very fun.
Yeah.
Can you give us anything about your character?
Sure.
It's named the human frog.
It's L'Homme Grenouille, which is French for the frog man.
Right.
For those of you who haven't seen the pilot, which is available on Amazon right now, Marvelous Mrs. Maisel is about a woman named Midge Maisel in 1950s New York, who her husband leaves her, and she decides to try stand-up comedy. And it's really awesome. It's very fun. Alex Borstein's in it. She plays like the the manager of the comedy club that like takes her under her wing and is like, I'll teach you how to be a great comic. And it's like, and I play like a record store guy named Virgil.
I could see that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's very cool. I know one of the writers on the show, and he actually got, because it's a dramedy.
Yeah.
With like leaning into the drama
into the drama stuff, but really solid jokes.
Yeah, of course.
Amazing jokes.
Yeah. So Noah is the guy they brought on because all the writers were like, great at writing drama, but had never really done stand-up.
Sure.
And Noah's a stand-up. So, like, just come on and tell us if we're doing that part right. So he sits in, he's accredited as a writer, and he sits there all day, and he's like, no, they would hold the mic like this. And then that's it.
Nice.
That so. Is... So it's like as like consulting, like that's so funny. That's great.
It's a legit writer's job.
That's awesome. That's great. Because it is such a skill, like us. And like nothing drives me more crazy in television is when dramatists try to write like comedy. Like it's like oh yeah, just get a comedian there. They're gonna make it. It's gonna sound more authentic.
That's true. What's going on in the news right now? Well, let me tell you, it's there's a lot to discuss.
There's so much to discuss. I don't know how I'm gonna. Talk to my wife, who I can't relate to.
Yeah. very good. Great. Well, so when does that comes out pretty soon, right?
Yeah, the series airs in December. I'm in a couple episodes. It should be really fun. I'm excited. It should be a fun time. Thanks. Yeah.
And Gethard, you were off this week, but you're back.
We were off last week. We're back this week with Thursday at 11 with John Oliver as our guest.
Oh,
it's
going to
be a great show.
Very cool.
Wow. Yeah.
Check out both those things. In the meantime, we're going to move on to The Stack. Yeah. In The Stack, we talk about some comics that came out this week. First, let's talk about The Walking Dead, number 171.
Oh, yeah, man. Still going strong.
Still going strong, which is the nicest compliment you can say about anything.
Yeah.
That it's still going. So
you can say about anything.
You can say about it. If it's still going, that's a pretty good compliment.
Yeah, exactly. It's still happening.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, there's a whole lot of things that I don't want to...
Like, Hillary Clinton's book came out. It's What Happened, past tense. Not good. This is still happening.
Yeah, still going strong.
Still exactly.
Yeah, I mean, there was a fun moment in this comic. Oh, I'm sorry. Were you going to, like, catch us up to...
No, I thought you were going to do that.
Okay.
Catch us up in 170 issues of The Walking Dead without referencing anything from the television program.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. So zombies are real. And people are fighting them. Okay, so in this comic, there was a fun moment, and I don't know if you guys thought it was funny. I really thought it was laugh out loud funny, where they're kind of in this deserted city, if you will, and then Michonne is like, hang on, I want to try something. And she just yells, hello. And I fell out laughing because I thought, like in the middle of a zombie apocalypse, you're going to yell, hello? I thought that was just this weird, funny moment.
Well, I think that's a reference to the original couple movies from the Romero zombie movies.
Right.
Which we get a little bit of a sort of check-in with that in the back. Kirkman goes on and talks about how this is like it was a very special issue for him. So Walking Dead has been through a bunch. There's a big storyline sort of ended a couple issues ago, and now it seems like they're just laying out some pieces to get into the next thing.
I see.
So they're going to Pittsburgh, which is not a lot of people visit there even without zombies.
Now it's a real travel hotspot.
Yeah, you think so? When are you going to Pittsburgh?
Oh, man, next weekend.
Back again.
Go
I got my sandals packed already.
Sandals, yeah. Great, fun thing to have in Pittsburgh is sandals. So we meet this new character named the Princess.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And she's just holding like a very large gun when they ride up on their horses.
I mean, that's what princesses do.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. In what situation?
I feel like if you're in the zombie apocalypse and you're a princess, they give you a really big gun.
Yeah.
I guess that's pretty fair.
Yeah.
It sucks to be a princess during the zombie apocalypse. It seems like a raw deal for a princess.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not great to be a princess in general.
What are you talking about? Princess? I mean, that's a pretty sweet gig.
I don't know. You're just waiting around to eventually be married for a treaty.
Huh. Or you can Anne Boleyn it.
Oh.
And just like
never heard that used as a verb. What do you mean by
you can defy the king and sleep with a bunch of people and then either have a great drama written about you
again
or,
drama yeah
or get caught, get exiled, or start your or get killed, which is not a great outcome. But you can get. But there's still the drama. There's still the drama.
This guy loves drama.
Or you can make out with some frogs and see some magic.
Sure.
I mean, there's possibilities.
Different worldviews. Yeah. But this woman just named herself the princess.
Right.
She has this big gun and she's like acting pretty crazy, and they don't know whether or not she's crazy.
Well, she says numerous times that she hasn't talked to a real human in a long time. So I feel like that would kind of slowly drive you insane. Mm-hmm. So I feel like her behavior isn't that crazy.
Totally.
I mean, if she was within normal society and then acting like that, you might be like, hey, red flag.
Sure.
Yeah. But zombie apocalypse, haven't seen someone in years, maybe you don't have the conversational skills that you once had.
You're like, green flag.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah. Green flags go.
Green flags go. Like, let's hang out with this person. She seems fun.
She seems fun. She's a princess. She's got a giant gun. I mean, what can go wrong?
Yeah, what can go wrong?
Yeah.
And that's where we sort of leave it. And it seems like maybe she is going to shoot them all.
You think so?
I mean, we don't know. It's pretty up in the air.
I feel like this is kind of like when they introduce Jesus, when they were like, he kind of
you
had
mean in the Bible?
No, not in the Bible. In the comic that we're talking about.
Yeah, when they introduce Jesus in the Bible, it's all left up to interpretation.
Jesus, right. Princess, you know, you can call yourself whatever you want.
Yeah.
No, because it was a kind of a standalone issue where like Jesus showed up and he was like this real badass, and we weren't sure how we felt about him in the beginning. We were like, is this guy cool? Is he leading us into a trap? But he ended up being a good guy. So I got a good feeling about Princess over here.
You like it. Great. What about you, Dave?
I think it's definitely left up in that last panel when she's just like laughing. Nobody knows how to react, but like... I think it could go either way. It's honestly one of those things where it's like she could be she's either going to be super evil, she's going to be a bad news for everybody, or she's going to be the unlikely thing that's going to help them out of the thing that we haven't even seen yet. That's the real trouble.
Because right now, that's what's interesting about where this book is right now. There's no real villain right now besides just regular zombies.
Zombies.
Yeah.
Are a constant just the villain in their life.
But they're not really a villain anymore. They're more like weather.
Or
like really bad weather.
Or traffic. Like traffic.
The things in their way.
Yeah. Where you're scared of it all the time.
Yeah. And it can kill you at any point if you're not paying attention.
That's like great. Bears.
Like bears.
That's great. Yeah. Natural.
Natural
zombies are the bears of the future, I guess.
Wow. That's a lot to think about. So let's leave this behind and move on to our next book, which is Hawkeye number 10.
Yeah.
Huge fan base for Hawkeye. Pete, you are loving this book. You're reading this book.
Yeah, it's fun. This has been a very solid book for a really long time for Marvel. It's kind of changed hands with who's doing it. But... this is kind of a fun take. It's been so long since I've read number 9 that I kind of forgot some of the plot, and then reading it, I was like, oh yeah, that's right.
Has this been delayed, or have you just lived a lot this month?
It's probably I live so much because I don't know the answer.
I don't think there's any gap in this.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's been exactly 1 month, which is the usual time.
Huh.
But, I mean, Pete's been living so hard.
I've been living
the
hard.
The lines have been blurred
living
together.
Living a hard life, yeah. But
Pete just moved to near me, so we're going to hang out.
Oh, yeah, we're definitely going to hang, buddy. Yeah. Can't wait for that.
Yeah. Potato chips are...
That won't be a disaster.
Great.
You think Hawkeye, Kate Bishop, is acting weird, but it turns out that, spoilers, that's not Lady Bishop. That is an evil person.
Yeah, an evil person. An unnamed evil
person.
Her name is Madame Mask.
Which is an older character, right?
She's been around. But her whole thing is right in her name, so you don't have to worry too much about it. She is a madam with a mask, and you don't ever see what's behind the mask.
You don't know
what she's hiding, or she's just having some fun.
Yeah.
This Hawkeye book is focused on Kate Bishop, not Clint Barton, the Hawkeye from, say, the movies.
Mm-hmm.
For your Jeremy Renner.
Right.
Yeah.
If you're a huge fan of Jeremy Renner.
Like, sure.
Sure. Okay. Confusing.
Love.
You guys both sound like you're lying, by the way. It's not, he's not here. You can tell us the truth.
I think my favorite Jeremy Renner movie is National Lampoon's Senior Trip. It's his first professional acting credit.
Some people know that reference. Yeah,
huge fans of Matt Frewer in the audience, as the principal. And Tommy Chong is the bus driver.
Oh, man.
And
how did Tommy get the role? Man, that's great. What a great audition he must have had.
Yeah. Jeremy Renner plays the lead high school kid in that movie.
Wow.
It's terrible.
And as an actor yourself, what did you learn from watching him in that role?
You got to have a best friend who's a nerd named Virus.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
That's a badass name.
That's a badass name. And you got to know how to drive the school bus if anything bad goes down.
That's true. Great lessons for any child who's listening at home. So in this book, Kate Bishop, I have not been reading this. So I pick it up and I'm like, well, Kate is acting sort of. Not just, nice.
Yeah.
She's acting like some
She
sort of,
doesn't yeah. seem like the hero type.
You right, know? Right. Yeah.
She's at a club. There's some dancing going on. We sound like the oldest people talking about
your club.
There is some dancing going on, but I don't like the looks of it.
And then the kids come in.
And
you see Oddball.
You see Oddball, everyone's favorite villain.
Everyone's favorite circus-themed villain.
Let me ask you, people in the audience, does anyone know who Oddball is or what his powers are? And if so, shout them out.
Anybody know what his secret identity's name is?
I don't think, if they don't know the very basic facts, asking a follow-up question is never a good idea. Little interview tip. So Oddball, not a crazy exciting villain. His thing is he throws little balls.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But like the old Hawkeye, each ball does something different.
A different thing. There's some lasers that happen here.
Yeah.
And Kate Bishop, who we don't know until later that she's secretly Madame Mask, like pulls out a gun and starts shooting shit up. And it's like, that's not cool. She has a bow and arrow, which is like an old timey gun.
Right.
To have a modern gun is confusing. It's one of the very first guns.
It was a bow and arrow.
Then we learn at the tail end of the issue that Kate Bishop has been locked up by Madame Mask with her dog, which...
I mean, if you're going to get locked up with your dog. That's
nice.
The way to go.
Take care of the animal.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Of course. No, you got to get locked up with that dog. Who's going to take care of it?
That's caring for the... No dogs were harmed in the making of this comic book. And she escapes, finds that her dad is locked up, and says, sort of out of nowhere, non-sequitur question, did you kill my mother?
Yeah. Mm. Also, like... Doesn't look like she's going to break her dad out. Looks like he's going to stay.
Right.
She's going free.
Yeah. But Kate Bishop is not Clint Barton's daughter, is it?
No, she's just another person.
She's just another person. So who's your father?
This guy in the chair.
Oh, is he someone important?
His name is Mr. Bishop.
Okay. All right.
No, I think he's just a rich guy who seems to have made a deal with Madame Mask.
Yeah, which never goes well.
Up to no good.
Yeah.
Do you have any pets?
Me, no. I don't have any pets.
No pets, Pete?
No.
Oh, so what are you talking about? How much you want to get locked up with your dog? I don't even have pets.
I'm just saying, if you're going to get locked up with your dog.
Yes. No, I think if you get the choice, it's like, hey, I'm going to kidnap you. Do you want to get locked up with your dog, who I'm also going to kidnap? Or do you want me to let the dog go free? If you're a loving owner, you'd take the dog with you.
Let the dog free. Dog will come rescue you.
Ooh.
Incredible journey.
Putting a lot of faith in that dog.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, if you train it right, just like a child, it should come back and help you out of a jam.
You know what, man? I tell you right now, if I kidnapped you, your dog would not come save you.
My dog knows shit, man. My dog is smart and likes me.
Right, but I don't think your dog can put it all together.
Yeah, your dog can't distract a prison guard open a door.
I mean,
door.
Actually, that's the one thing my dog could do, distract a prison guard. My dog can't open a door, though, like you said, which is a huge component in both leaving a house and entering another house.
Yep.
You win this round, Pete. Let's about talk about Astonishing X-Men number 3, brand new title, Charles Soule, our buddy Ed McGuinness on art. This issue, rebooted it. Astonishing X-Men has always been sort of a place where creators, like A-list creators, can cut loose with the X-Men.
Oh, yeah.
Put together their own team and get into some weird adventures. This arc has a lot of your favorite 90s X-Men hanging out, and Phantom X. Mm-hmm. And they are facing off in the mental plane.
The astral plane. The Shadow King lives.
Where the Shadow King and Professor X somehow has been dead for a long time. Who are playing a game of chess with these X-Men, basically.
Pretty awesome.
Pretty awesome.
Yeah, pretty cool.
Yeah, it's really kind of badass. Like,
pretty classic X-Men metaphor setting, too. Chess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, I really like the part where, like, Wolverine wasn't having it. He was just like, they're like, okay, well, how's he going to do in this scenario? And he just walks past him and is like, nope. Yeah, I'm not falling for this shit. This ain't real. I'm on some astral plane. I'm like, yeah, Wolverine's been through so much shit at this point.
Yeah.
At some point, it's got to be like, okay, this isn't real.
Well, nothing can surprise him at this point.
I feel like he should play along and really yes and the situation.
Yeah. Well,
improv guys really loving that
show. Yeah, the improv
audience
people,
like, what the fuck are you even talking about?
Wolverine would never make it past level two.
You don't think he's an improviser?
No way. He would rely too
much.
He's
the best there is at what he does.
He's the best.
Which is improv.
Well, yes, that's I. Yeah. You got me.
Yeah. Hey, bub. Tag out.
That was a wipe.
Yeah. Wipe. It's called an edit, Wolverine.
Correct Wolverine as improv.
But to be fair, he really is like a no. He's like a
He's saying no to a lot of ideas in this comic.
Yeah, exactly.
And it was great. And there was that really fun Charles Xavier moment where he's like, it's not my Wolverine.
Yeah, because this is Old Man Logan from another Earth.
Yeah,
And Old Man Logan, is everyone liking Old Man Logan as a guy versus regular Wolverine? Oh, very mixed reactions. Pete, you're the Wolverine head.
Yeah, I'm also with the audience where I'm like,
Really? What don't you like about him? Is it the old or the man?
I'm just like, why is this still going on? Like, for a while, it was like, cool, like, all right, Old Man Logan, cool, fun.
Sure.
But I want the Wolverine back, and then it's like, that's not happening.
But the only difference is he's younger and he's less jaded. Like, this is the ultimate expression of Wolverine. He's like the most grizzled, the most over everything.
It's like if Ed Asner played Wolverine. Yeah. Mary, we need these reports. I'm running a news station here.
How do you feel about Old Man Logan?
I'm kind of on the same thing of Pete. It feels like it's kind of got it. It feels like it's gone as long as like Dragon Ball Z did. We're just like, this is too many issues at this point. This is like a mini series at best. I want to tackle, like, because, it's like jaded Wolverine, which is already an old character, Wolverine, as, like, a guy who's, like, his past.
You know what the young
mysterious
people want? Him to be even older.
Let's make him more than 100 years old.
I want a young, fresh Wolverine.
Yeah.
Young, fresh Wolverine.
Well, you have it. It's X-23.
Yeah.
Congrats.
And I love that book. But I'm talking about, talking about Dawkins.
Oh, fuck you.
Give me some of that Dawkins.
Yeah.
Does not exist.
Exist. No. He's coming up in the next issue of All New Wolverine featuring X-23.
I wanted to like that. I remember, like, I wanted to like, when Dawkins was first introduced, I was like, okay, cool. This is like assassin, young, sleek Wolverine, and he's just like cool. And he's
for
like
some
but
reason.
Listen, if you said all those words without the like sarcasm on it, that would be what we want.
Yes, no, exactly. But then I felt like it feels like a Brett Ratner experiment. It just feels like a character that...
Like a science experiment?
Yeah, just something like... I was like, Brett Ratner's like, I'll write this character. Even though I know he didn't really write it, but it's like... You know, that thing of like, what do 12-year-old boys just like love? Then they're just like psychopaths for no reason. And they I don't know. It just felt too anime to me as a character.
I like him because he has a claw, two claws up top, and then he has one like right here on his wrist. Never saw that.
Wow. Yeah, they really
why
thought
is it
long
there? Nobody
and hard
knows.
About that. Yeah.
How does that work bone structure
bone
wise?
Structure
unclear.
Doesn't make sense. Bone
unclear.
Does make sense. I'll say that.
Yeah. And, you know, we always on this show are bone structure first, comic book enjoyment second. Guys, that's it for the stack. Let's turn it over to our favorite section because you guys make it up. It's your audience questions.
Yeah.
And for that, I think Pete's going to go out into the
crowd. Oh, yes.
Never mind. I'll do it. Great. All you got to do is ask a question. You're going to get some.
You wait until I stand up, you piece of shit.
Sorry, speaking of old bones, there's Pete. You, sir, how about you?
My name's Kevin. First of all, in Senior Trip, one of the other main kids was Tara Strong.
Yes, that's right. Famous for a lot of things, but she's the voice of Raven in Teen Titans.
Nice.
And she's Batgirl. And Batgirl, and most Harley famously.
Quinn now. Yeah.
And what?
Harley Quinn now.
And what else? She's been on screen in a bunch of other things, too.
First, for the human fish.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Pete. Or Justin?
Oh my God.
Wow. Great question. What you got? Now, again, you know the right answer already, so there's no need to hesitate.
He beat me to the punch. My correct answer is Alex.
Come on!
I knew it. That's what everyone always answers.
Okay. Now, the actual question in honor of the human fish, besides Aquaman and Namor, who are some of your favorite aquatic characters?
Ooh, okay, cool.
Great stuff. Favorite aquatic characters.
Ooh.
So this can be anyone that lives under the sea.
Under the sea. Got it. I love Namor. Huge Submariner fan as a kid.
Oh, yeah?
I dug all that stuff. I love characters that are like Shakespearean in their ego of like, yeah. I'm the most important person. And Namor was like,
I don't know. When I was a kid reading Namor, I was like, man, that guy is an asshole. I was like, of all the characters ever, I was like, that guy's an asshole.
Yeah, I know. I love that.
As a kid, I was like, this guy reminds me of Justin. I just don't know what that
and
means.
You're like, I haven't even met him yet.
I don't know what this means.
I don't know what it means. Okay.
I think like his villains were really cool to me as a kid because they didn't exist really outside of like, you didn't see them interact with other Marvel characters because in Marvel, like all the villains and stuff, they bleed with each other a lot of times.
Sure.
But like Submariner had, especially in the 60s and 70s, had villains like Orca.
Yeah.
And like Dr. Walter Newell, the Stingray, later became an Avenger. It was probably my favorite like under aquatic superhero. Because he's a scientist, he built his suit.
His suit
was cool, but it was mostly just a giant flashlight with like a couple laser beams.
Yeah.
And
that's all you need, he's underwater.
He's underwater, and he's not a superhero. He's a scientist first, he's a researcher who has a...
Super fun. Can't wait for the movie.
I hope he's going to be in the movie.
Not a chance.
Not a chance.
He's not even in the comics anymore.
those were my favorite characters, were those lesser known ones. The ones who's like, there's no way Whirlwind's going to be in a movie.
Yeah, I do remember him from one of the first series I ever read. It was Atlantis Attacks, and he was in that.
Yes, sad character.
So you're saying that it's Stingray?
Stingray, yeah.
Pete, what you got underwater?
It was to him. Oh, I wasn't even thinking. Why don't you go buy me some time?
I love, there's a, in the Aquaman series from the late 90s that Peter David worked on, I believe.
Oh, yeah.
There were all these, the supporting cast there was Dolphin, who was like Aquaman's young girlfriend, who later falls in love with Aqualad. Like, I love that time. I feel like that was like primetime Aquaman. So I liked Dolphin would be my answer.
Dolphin.
Also, any Dolphin's pretty awesome.
A dolphin-based superhero is a pretty great idea.
Yeah.
I don't know. Dolphins are kind of rapey. I don't know.
Sure. They're also kind of...
You have to focus on that part of it, though.
Well,
a lot of people look at dolphins, they're not like sex first, you know?
They also think suicide.
If you,
they're the only animal that...
The only other animals other than humans that can do that, commit suicide.
Oh, wow. Didn't know that. Anyways,
Those are the kind of fun facts we drop on this show.
Yeah, talking about Black Manta is going to be my...
Ooh.
Oh, nice. Because, he's a bad guy.
Yeah, he's an awesome bad guy, though.
He is an awesome bad guy.
Yeah.
Cool, yeah.
I always liked him more than Aquaman, so
mm-hmm.
I was rooting for Black Manta.
Did you ever watch the Aquaman cartoon from the 60s?
Yes.
Yeah, that was good
shit. That was great. That was the Black Manta voice in that was just like the classic like 60s cartoon villain voice of like, I will destroy you.
I have a visceral like negative reaction.
Oh, wow.
Because he always scared me a little bit as a kid. And also, he did way more fucked up stuff in that animated series, which was for kids.
Mm-hmm.
When comic books, we now know, have always been for adults.
Always.
Mm-hmm. Always.
Mainly for dudes over 30. Comics.
Exactly.
Check it out.
Great question, or series of questions. You, sir, you have a question?
My name's EJ, and we're approaching the end of the Generations kind of mini-maxi series. We've got, I think, Ms. Marvel and Captain Marvel and someone else. Spider-Man. And What more obscure, or what characters who didn't get a pairing do you think should get a pairing? And specifically for Pete, should the Punisher meet either Punisher 2099 or Frankencastle?
Ha, 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 ha.
Great
dude.
Question.
Dude, great fuck question. You, man.
So that's, the first part of your question is actually pretty hard. Like, what Marvel character has a legacy hero?
Okay.
Which would be just another hero that has the same name or similar name.
Oh, like Spider-Man and Spider-Man 2099 or something? Or like
there's Spider-Man and Spider-Man. Yeah, that's mm-hmm. a pretty easy match.
Okay, but like, so you're saying like what other superhero has like a like what do you mean by legacy?
Like so there's this a event. New,
yeah. Oh, I see.
Generations. Yeah, legacy is like the DC
X-23
word.
And Wolverine now.
Hmm. Yeah.
There is.
That's a good question.
Yeah.
My brain goes to Ghost Rider, but I don't know if they.
Oh, that's a great answer.
Yeah.
I just haven't. They haven't like. There's no new Ghost Rider in a long
they
time.
They have actually. He drives. He lives in L.A. Drives a flaming car.
Of course he does.
Yeah.
Of course he
like
does.
Everybody.
Like
LA.
Everybody in
they
L.A.
Like a sweet flaming car. But that's actually a great answer because that's a true like generation hero situation.
I'm gonna my new Ghost Rider is gonna ride a flaming Vespa.
Oh, cool.
And he's gonna live in the world.
Yeah. He doesn't flame, he just smokes.
He just smokes, yeah, he just smokes.
Vapes,
like, yeah.
Probably warm. Vapes.
He vapes, yeah.
<It's> great. Wow, the worst Ghost Rider.
Yeah.
What about you, Pete? Can you think of a legacy?
I definitely just had one, and then you...
I erased it.
Yeah, and then you erased it from my memory, which is pretty impressive. What was I thinking? Oh, I was thinking... I want the new Lobo to die, so I would like even though we're talking about DC now, I would like
DC.
The old Lobo to meet the new Lobo, and then the old Lobo kill the new Lobo, so there is no more new fucking Lobo.
Wow, great.
Yeah.
That's fun. What about the Punisher question? Punisher 2099 or Frankencastle?
Yeah, there is... Frankencastle should just... We should all agree does
but
not
to
exist.
Be fair,
and
it
not
does exist.
Just like, no.
So you're saying Punisher 2099.
Yeah.
Is that a favorite Punisher of yours?
No, it's definitely not.
Definitely not? Well, I don't even remember too much about that series, so I did read it. He just had like very like futuristic guns.
Right.
Yeah.
He was more futuristic.
That 2099 series, like all those heroes had like... I remember as a kid trying to read those, and those were like hard to get through sometimes.
Yeah, they weren't. Doom was like the weirdest.
Yeah, Doom was
where it was
insane.
Like, whoa, I don't even understand this. Also, what a weird choice. They're like, yeah. Let's launch this new line, and we got Spider-Man, X-Men, Punisher, and Doom. Everyone's favorites. The X-Men 2099 series, though, was like pretty great. I really liked that.
That was fun. That had a lot of cool stuff in it. But that was also. But then none of those characters ended up like. I mean, can anybody name an X-Men 2099 character off the top of their heads right now? It's just like none of them have their own series anymore.
What is it? Ravage? No, that was another 2099 character.
There's another
2099 character. That was the original one they made up, and everyone was like, he's like a junk man. He's like, look at this. I still have old shit, and I'm in the future. It's like, oh, cool. Just like us in the future. Sandstorm? Wasn't there someone who turned into sand?
Ooh, there was a Sandstorm villain.
Yeah,
I remember from Spider-Man, from our regular
Sandman.
Universe. Yeah, well, Sandman, but then there's also Sandstorm, who was another sand-based supervillain, along with Quicksand, another sand-based supervillain-esque.
Because everyone hates sand.
Everyone hates sand,
especially when you're not at the beach.
Right. It's the worst thing to see when you're not at the beach.
Yeah,
like, who wants to see sand in the city? That's just annoying.
Sand in your socks.
Yeah, I don't walk around the West Village to get sand in my socks. That's a terrible thing to happen there.
Yeah, and that was Sandstorm's big catchphrase.
Yes, that was Sandstorm's big catchphrase.
I don't walk around here to get sand in my socks. great question. You, sir, right here. Question for you. Yeah.
Hello, guys. Hey. I got a question. Have you seen the Orville yet?
No.
Have we seen Orville, the new Fox Star Trek series from the creator of Family Guy? And it's not, I haven't seen it, but I know a little bit about it. I know that it's not a parody. It's like sort of a straight-faced but slightly funnier Star Trek.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. He was saying it was a dramedy in his like press tour.
Yeah.
Where it's an hour long and they weren't, it wasn't all jokes. It was a little bit more on the.
Seth MacFarlane has always been obsessed with, like, he was a executive producer on Cosmos, the relaunch of Cosmos, I believe.
Oh, yeah.
So very into space. I'm curious to see it. I love Star Trek, but I'm. The new Star Trek series, Star Trek Discovery, on CBS, you have to, like, buy the CBS app.
Yeah.
And I find that to be just annoying.
That, yeah. I don't like Seth MacFarlane.
Oh, wow.
I am not a big Seth MacFarlane fan.
Guy?
No, I think it's kind of like...
What about American Dad?
Oh, boy.
Or perhaps the Cleveland Show.
I don't know what that guy... I don't know who... He must have watched some Fox executive get murdered or something. Yeah. Or, like, he holds someone's secrets that he just, like, has Gambit to have whatever he wants on that network.
Yeah, well, one of those devil-may-care Fox execs. They don't get
Family Guy has made the Fox a lot of money.
They have. Yeah, they have.
So I don't think they're like, what else do you got?
Yeah, that's true.
We'll see. The show is expensive.
Yes. This show does look expensive. Yeah. It looks...
I mean, Norm Macdonald. Come on, guys.
Yeah.
It's not to love.
I think, like, would I... the thing that makes me curious to watch it is the cast, because it does look like a great cast.
It does look, and you ever see, if I don't know how much it will be like this, but Galaxy Quest is an amazing movie.
That's a great
fantastic movie. If you haven't seen that movie, that movie is like has so much heart. And
great.
Even though Tim Allen has lately turned into a psychopath, it's still a great movie.
Great movie. Great Tony Shalhoub part.
Great Tony Shalhoub.
Yeah.
And there's other people.
Great. Yeah. Great Sigourney Weaver. Yes. Alan Rickman.
Alan Rickman, yes.
Sam Rockwell as the guy in the red shirt.
The red shirt guy,
yeah.
Great cast. Definitely check that out.
So Orville is also with, if you any fans of the Larry Sanders Show, Penny Johnson, who plays Beverly, Larry's assistant, is on the Orville. She's fantastic. I'm a big fan of her.
So we haven't seen it, but we seem to know a little bit about it, I guess is the answer there. Did you have a question in the back as well? We got time for one more. You do have to come down a little bit, though.
What comic book character would you like to see get the National Lampoon treatment?
The National Lampoon treatment.
The National Lampoon treatment.
I don't know what that means.
Yeah, what does that ooh, what does that mean? Like a parody? Ooh,
like they go back to high school and have to like have adventures.
Yeah.
Have like slightly sexual adventures. I mean, National Lampoon's like the X-Men Academy. Would be pretty hilarious. Maybe hilarious.
Yeah, like a Dorm Days with mutants would be pretty funny.
Man.
That would be my jump to it. Or you do like something obvious like Howard the Duck.
Let me throw this out at you. I feel like Van Wilder is basically Deadpool in college.
I mean, pretty much.
It's the same,
yeah.
So
it's
Ryan
same
Reynolds,
actor.
So, yeah,
like,
I mean,
yeah.
So I think there's a way to connect that continuity wise, and you're going to be fine. Let's move on with our next section, which we're going to very quickly, which is called The Week in Geek.
Oh, yeah.
Very quickly, I want to just talk about some news fresh today.
Fresh news?
About Star Wars. We recently had a director fall off, Colin Trevorrow fall off episode 9, and today they announced that a surprise announcement that J.J. Abrams is going to be taking over the writing and directing for episode 9.
Mm-hmm. Which is, everybody seems to be very excited.
People seem to, I feel like people are excited based on if they liked episode 7.
Right.
Right.
Which is a strong indicator of what episode 9
But I feel like J.J. Abrams is a safe bet for them because like...
Sure.
He's, you know, he helped make Star Trek great again. He helped with Star Wars. So, like, it's a good go-to, oh, shit, what do? We don't have a director. Oh, J.J. Abrams.
Yeah, he was able to, like, somehow, like, find a movie plot for episode 7. I don't know where he got it from.
I don't know where, I don't know where he could have scrounged around for it.
And I feel like most of episode 9 is just going to be different.
Hey, man,
different Death Stars that they all fight each other.
Dude,
Death Stars are so cool, apparently.
You guys made jokes, but those last three movies were pieces of shit before that. So
which one? Episode 4, 5, 6? Ooh, got you, almost got that, you.
Oh my God, well, I could feel the poison. Oh,
yeah. Yeah. You're talking about the prequels.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I believe, of course, I am.
I believe there's a way to have good characters in a well-written movie and have it be. It's almost like when you have unlimited resources, money, and time to make a movie, I feel like we could do a good job.
I mean, you know? Yeah. People seem to have a lot of gripes against Colin Trevorrow.
Yeah.
For reasons that I don't. I can only understand from the Jurassic movie that he did a couple years ago. But then didn't he do another movie before that called Safety Not Guaranteed?
He did, yeah.
How do people feel about it? Has anybody seen that movie?
It's a fine movie, but he went from doing that to Jurassic World to Star Wars 9. So it's sort of like, hey, man, let him try another movie.
That's the thing. Yeah. I was like, that's the thing with like every time news like this comes up, people are like, that guy, sucks. I'm like, he just needs a little bit of padding.
Of a minute.
Just a little bit of a minute.
So we have that to look forward to. That's it for Week in Geek. Let's turn it over to Pete LePage for a little trivia.
Trivia, this is the part we give back to you, the lovely audience. It's an opportunity to win $25 free. Who would like $25 free? Yes, you new guy. Come on down, new guy. Welcome to the show. Come on down.
Don't come all the way down like that. Yeah, not all the way to the floor. Here you go.
Grab that microphone there. Sir, what is your name?
Maurice.
Maurice, audience Maurice. All right, so today's trivia is on David, our lovely guest. All you have to do is listen to all three questions, get all three questions right, and you will win $25. So here we go. Question number one. What is David's middle name? Is it A, Nolan, B, Christopher, or is it C, Panthro? So it's either A or it's B.
I'll go with A.
A is correct, right?
Yep, that's me.
All right, here we go. Question number two. David has been on some great TV shows. Which one hasn't he been on? Is it A, Broad City, B, The Deuce, or is it C, The Late Late Show with Sword of Omens? So it's either A, B, or if you want to continue to go for the $25, pick C.
C.
C is correct. Nice job. Yeah, don't overthink these. Here we go. Last question. David was born and raised in what city? Is it A, New York City, B, Trenton, or is it C, Thundera? So it's either A, if you want $25, or B, or C. A is correct. Congratulations, sir. $25 is yours. Enjoy it.
Congratulations, Maurice. Pete, interesting. You really came down hard on Trenton there. great choice. I love it.
Well, I mean, you know, I wanted something close, you know what I mean? Because...
smart. Yeah. Way to throw
him off. You look at him, you think, maybe Trenton.
Yeah,
maybe he's from Trenton.
He's got Trenton all over him. As we all know, tomorrow's new comic book day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they have been nice enough to sponsor this show for so long.
It's a sweet shop. I mean, regardless of their niceness to us, it's a sweet shop.
You mean a sweet shop where you get candy or comic books?
Sweet shop as far as, like, it's a very decent comic book shop to go purchase comics.
Pete, what are you looking forward to tomorrow?
Oh, man, I am looking forward to, I'm so glad you asked, Wonder Woman number 30 comes out. Looking forward to that. Looking for Curse Words number 8 and All New Wolverine.
Wow, that's almost
number
everything.
Number 24.
Yeah, great. All the Wolverine number 24 features Dawkins, so I can't wait to hear your hot take on that. Young, fresh Wolverine, back at you.
I hope that she murders Dawkins, because he's got it coming.
They're brother and sister, basically.
Well, so that does mean you can't kill somebody.
Wow, what a weird thing to say again. I'm looking forward to Black Science number 31. This comic is it's written by Rick Remender. Beautiful art. It's a family that goes into space, sort of lost in space style, except they're going on a trans-dimensional platform, and they keep having horrible problems, and it's truly tragic, but they keep sticking together and finding new ways to do the new thing, and I love it. It's great.
And I'm looking forward to Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? Issue 85.
Nice.
Yeah.
Because Scooby-Doo has a very easy formula to follow, and I love reading it just as much as I love watching it.
Great answer. Now plug your stuff as well.
Sure. Catch the Chris Gethard Show Thursdays at 11 on True TV. And I perform at UCB every Saturday night with the improv team GOAT. And check out Marvelous Mrs. Maisel in December on Amazon.
Yeah. That's awesome, guys. That's a show. A couple of you want to thank before we leave. We want to thank Dave for doing the show. Yeah. We want to thank Boothman Prime.
Boothman Prime.
Thank Midtown Comics. This show is free to come to. It does cost us some money to produce. Please, if you'd like to support, drop some money in our hat or throw it in our virtual hat at patreon.com/comicbookclub. Good prizes and all sorts of stuff. We also have a Preacher podcast, which we're just about to end with season two.
Yeah, man.
Please check that out. Follow us on Twitter, Comic Book Live. And what else, Pete?
Friend us on Facebook so you get to know about the amazing guests we have on the show.
We do this show every single Tuesday night at 8 p.m. in New York City at the People's Improv Theater. Law. Please tell your friends good night.
Thanks, everybody.